This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 157. So today we are joined by Paul Higgins of Build, Live, Give. Paul has a fantastic background, fantastic corporate and entrepreneurial experience, which of course we will dive into in this episode, so I won't go too deep into it. But I certainly learned a lot, and I'm sure you will too. If you want to get in touch with Paul or know any more about this episode, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/157. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Paul Higgins of Build, Live, Give, who's sitting over there in Australia. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Derek. Great, thank you.
Good, good. And thanks so much for joining us. Paul, you've had quite a long journey to this point, and you're far better at introducing yourself than I am. But there's a lot of corporate experience in there. There's a lot of outsourcing experience in there. And then there's also a lot of business, kind of raw business experience in there. So really glad to have you on board. And I suppose initially, can you just give people some insight into, you know, how you came to be here today and how you got all of that experience?
Sure. Thanks, Derek. Look, the short version is I worked for Coca-Cola for 18 years. I started there at about 3 years of age because my father worked there, and I said I'd never work for Coca-Cola, left uni, and all of a sudden 18 years later I was there. Brilliant company, great global experience, still I think one of the best companies in the world, or one of the best run companies in the world. And near my end of my career there, I had a bit of a health challenge, and I had to jump out and find a better way to control my health, traveling around the world and being on planes, and all the stress that comes with corporate wasn't right. So I jumped out, and I basically then grew a series of my own businesses, and along the way built an outsourcing business in the Philippines. I sold that, but a very strong proponent of outsourcing, and now we run a global community for people like me, corporate escapees that are running their own business, and as the name suggests, to build their dream business, live a great life, and also give back.
Fantastic. So you've had quite a few evolutions there, haven't you? And, you know, you've gone from corporate, you've gone, you know, you've lived in the outsourcing world, and now you're coaching and mentoring and have a community around supporting people to leave the corporate space and build their own dreams, I suppose. And is it, you know, it's interesting that a lot of this came out of your own needs, like, as they say, scratching your own itch, and you've developed businesses around your needs and now helping others facilitate that. Can you give us a little bit of insight into your outsourcing experience, what you did in that space, but also, you know, really significantly, what on earth made you think about outsourcing? Was it, how did it even get on your radar?
Yeah, well, look, I think whether it's nature or nurture, but I've always been a global citizen. So I've always thought globally. I grew up in a little country town in Australia, but I always thought global. And then working for the Coke Company for 18 years, you can't but help think global. So the Coke Company, you know, have been out one of the biggest outsourcers in the world for forever and a day, 126 years. And, you know, effectively the Coke Company did the marketing, and then they used bottlers to manufacture, distribute, and use partners all around the world. So it was a form of outsourcing. So I was very much aware of it. But when I left, I did some work for Bain, which is one of the biggest consulting companies in the world. And I was doing a project for them, and I was just doing so much admin myself, and it was killing me. I, you know, just didn't have the people to help me scale my own business. And I said, look, why don't I do the next workshop? Don't pay me, but what I want is just time with your number one global outsourcing expert, because I want to work out which countries, where, so how can I solve my own issue as a small business owner. And that's eventually led me to the Philippines. The week after, I jumped on a plane, and before long I had a team of 20 people helping business owners all over the world. So it sort of, you know, it just took its natural course. But it was, you know, I think outsourcing is something that, yeah, it's always been part of what I've done, and but it wasn't for small businesses per se.
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? We see, you know, I'm sitting here in Manila, and you see a lot of business people coming over here, initially outsourcing, but then moving into the outsourcing space, I think because they're so inspired by it and see so many opportunities that actually they kind of evolve. And as I mentioned, it's through scratching your own itch and filling your own needs and then seeing the vast opportunities out there. But, you know, how, in your experience, then, what was it like outsourcing? What were some of the initial, you must have had some wins, but also some challenges from the start.
Yeah, look, you know, I approached it no different to a partnership when I was in corporate. So I used to buy billion-dollar businesses, so we'd do a full due diligence. So I followed a similar path that I went and spoke to the biggest operators in town. I spoke to some mid that were growing, and I spoke to some small that I thought were going to be the stars. So I interviewed lots of companies and ended up finding two. And one was, you know, the big guy that was growing, still growing, but I thought I could learn from them. And then I picked a little guy that I thought was, you know, they would treat me as a bigger fish in their very small pond. So it was a great combination, and I basically learnt from both of them and then ended up going to one. And that transition of going from one to the other was hard because the big one didn't want to let me move my staff, which I can understand that. But, you know, on the grand scheme of thing, I had five people at that stage and they had thousands. So that was a little disappointing, but I sort of learnt that. That was one key challenge. And then just picking the right people. I think, you know, interviewing was something that I was used to in corporate. Coke had brilliant people processes, but, you know, it was different culture. It was different. So it took me a while to adjust to the fact that when people said yes, they didn't always mean yes. And when people were there to constantly please you and not give you the real, honest and raw answers. So I'd ask someone, so what's something you could improve on? Or what's something that a manager has said to you in the past to improve on? And they just couldn't come up with anything. And I'm like, well, these people just aren't self-aware. And it wasn't because they weren't self-aware, but culturally, you just don't talk about that. So there was little nuances that I learned along my way. And, you know, now I think we're getting very good at recruiting people from the Philippines. But when I first started, I found it really hard.
It's a big learning process, isn't it? And even that, you know, we advise people to really sit down and have a think, because often people can get into outsourcing and the first step might be getting a VA in the province working remotely. But then, you know, it takes a little bit of foresight to think, well, hold on, what if we scale this? What if we expand this? What if we want to centralize them into an office? Will they be able to move in there? You know, and we advise people as well to make sure that if you go with one BPO, if you want to move or if you want to expand, you know, what are the options there presenting to you? Because it can be, you know, you can really take quite a few steps back if you have to move your team and you have to leave a lot of the people behind. It's really something to consider, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's a modern industry that's got very old school tactics. So I found, you know, they're very good at the sales approach, but then what they promised you, they didn't always deliver. So I found that really difficult. And the provider I ended up going with was brilliant. And now we've got a network of providers that we refer clients to. But it was really difficult. And that's, you know, where I think, you know, service that you guys provide is really important. I took the step of going and learning myself. And that's because I wanted to double down on it. But, you know, that's time. It's a lot of time and it's a lot of cost. And I spent, you know, I've been there about 20 times now to the Philippines. If you don't want to do that, I think really get people that you can trust and are experts in it to direct you, because, yeah, you can lose a lot of time and a lot of money by picking the wrong people. And it won't be obvious to you at the outset, or it certainly wasn't for me.
There's quite a learning curve, isn't there? You know, and, you know, you're very successful in your own right. There's a lot of business people that are very successful, and then they come over here and they think all of that is directly transferable. But then it you don't realize that actually there is a learning curve, and there's a new culture and there's a new way of doing things that, you know, as you say, it won't make or break you, but it can take 1 or 2 years to kind of learn the new processes, can't it?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, and like I said, I've learned that the hard way, and you know, that's where I help and guide a lot of people today, a lot of our community members. It you know, often it's not the fact that they don't want to outsource, it's just the fact that the fear of getting it wrong or picking the wrong partner, or they've heard bad experiences. So we just try to minimize those as much as possible.
Let's sort of draw on that experience, because you have, you know, incredible corporate experience in one of the biggest companies in the world, and now you're coaching and mentoring, have a sort of a small business community. What are the differences there in terms of processes and in terms of needs when it comes to extending into outsourcing? Because this is one of my sort of gripes with the industry, is that, you know, these big boys have been outsourcing for 20, 30 years. And the opportunities there are now for the SMEs, and they're just not aware of it, and just not sort of aware enough, or given enough, or having enough awareness to really just jump on this outsourcing opportunity. Where do you see the sort of the differences and also similarities in terms of big corporate and SME outsourcing?
Yeah, look, great question. I think the biggest thing is getting processes out of an owner's head into something that someone else can follow. You know, often the owner blames the outsourcing provider, or can blame, you know, whether it's a virtual assistant or someone else for things not going right. But when I actually dig into it, it's often the owner that hasn't been clear, or the owner hasn't got clear standard operating procedures, or constantly changes what they're doing, so there's not that consistency. So at Coke, you know, 126 years, they got really good at doing a similar thing. So yes, they're always iterating, but there was a core amount of IP and business processes in place, and you know, they would have been built up for a long period of time. Whereas a lot of small business owners, that's all in their head, and they're so busy doing all the time that they don't have the ability to extract that in a way that someone else can do it. So that's where we find the biggest gap, and, you know, having really well-documented standard operating procedures. And normally most business owners, as soon as they hear that word, they run for the hills. And I completely get it, you know. I completely understand it. But we find ways of getting those standard operating procedures right, and having the right technology as well, which I think is absolutely critical. And I think those two things combined work well, and then you've got that cultural overlay that you spoke of as well. So if you get those three things right, I think you stand a much better chance. But those challenges are the same at corporate, but they've just normally solved them. They've got lots of resources that have solved them over a long period of time.
Yeah, and corporates aren't, by their nature, they don't need to be as agile, do they? Whereas small businesses, if you've only got 10 or 20 employees, there's a lot of kind of cross functionality. Whereas, you know, the big boys, they have probably 1,000 people in the room doing the same task that's been the same task for the last 10 years. You know, and whereas small businesses, they need a lot more agility. And I often find that, you know, you get businesses in the West thinking that they're coming to the Philippines and it's third world, and it's, you know, that they will be able to teach the Philippines a lot of things. And then they come here and realize, as you say, there's a lot of process sophistication. Things have to be mapped out. You need KPIs, you need metrics. Whereas very commonly in the West, you know, maybe up until kind of 50 staff, a lot of things are more organic and fly by the seat of your pants, and people just figuring it out as they go. Whereas here it often doesn't fly, and people then come here, and it almost, the whole company has to go through a maturation process as they develop and map out and kind of mature their processes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's no different. Like, you always hear horror stories of SAP, you know, which I think about, you know, nearly 80% of the world's economies run on SAP these days. And everyone always talks about SAP is a terrible experience, and they always talk about the technology. It's actually the cultural change of doing things in a standard way, which is always the hardest part of implementing SAP. It's not the technology. And I think with outsourcing, it's exactly the same. It's like, yes, you want to be agile and you want to be customer responsive. I completely understand that. But there are some things that you need to have, which is consistent. And we call it freedom within a framework. So yes, there needs to be freedom, but there also needs to be a framework for people to succeed. And I think that's the bit where, well, we'll just go and outsource and it'll automatically happen. I think, no, actually, you either A, need to do it yourself, or get someone to help you make that transition, because it won't just start from scratch. And it is a journey. You won't be at 100% straight away. And I think a lot of people look at the savings, and there is enormous savings to be made, but I think what they do is bank on those too early and think all effort and upside immediately. And unfortunately, you know, it's just not that. It's good, but it's not that good.
Absolutely. And I think as well, when they look at outsourcing, they almost think they're outsourcing their operational issues, their business problems, but actually they don't go away. You're just, you're having to operate, but it's just in another office in another country. So there's still the need, you know, and there's still going to be speed bumps and hurdles and things like that. It's an interesting learning curve, isn't it? But Paul, I want to get you back and, you know, discuss, you know, we'll deep dive into Build, Live, Give, which is your business community. But I suppose before we do that, just initially, you know, if you advise your community to outsourcing, if it's an SME that hasn't really heard of outsourcing, you know, and let's say they ask you, well, what is outsourcing and what are the benefits? Why should I bother? What are some early wins or what are some of the really big draw cards that you kind of tempt people with?
Yeah, look, I always answer this twofold. So from a financial point of view, labor costs is normally your biggest cost within most SME business, and it's either the owner's labor time or their staff. And you'll definitely get an upside from getting your local people to do more value-added activities, so things that drive more revenue, and then getting the admin, the repeatable task done by someone that could be, you know, up to a third cheaper than what it is within your local market. So I think the financial ones are obvious. But then I think the other ones, which aren't always as obvious, is just the risk of hiring full-time people is quite high. So you can actually part hire or you can be a lot more flexible. So therefore, you can test things with outsourcing a lot easier than you can locally. So I think that's a huge advantage. Also, the demand for people. Like I might want to get a particular role for one of my clients and I might get 5 applicants locally, whereas overseas I might get, you know, 50 or 100. So I think just the volume and the speed is great, and the quality is, you know, I think much the same. The other thing is multiple time zones, so you can actually have people working on the 24-hour clock, and for my clients to get their head around that sometimes is a little confusing, but once they get that and they realize they can go to bed and have someone doing stuff at night, it just, you know, it allows you to scale and allows the owner to have a good night's sleep rather than worrying about work. And I also think just on the financial side, just the working capital. Most businesses that I work with don't want to get funding. Banks won't lend them the money, so they've got to get out of working capital. And I think being really smart around the ways that you can improve your business or increase your business, i.e. as your revenue goes up, what you don't want is your labor costs to marry that. So all you're doing is taking greater risks without actually getting more profit yourself. So I think outsourcing is a brilliant way to manage that. And, you know, there's so many people focused on marketing these days and all the tactics, and I think they're great, but I think a lot of those are high risk, whereas I think outsourcing is, you know, it's been around for so long, and like you said, the corporates have done it for so long. If you use the right partners, it's got low risk of not working, where compared to a new marketing agency, you know, or employing someone locally for a role, I think that's got a higher risk.
It's fantastic, isn't it? It's incredibly, you know, you mentioned about 10 things there, and it's incredibly compelling. There's a huge amount of, you know, arguments. And this is what I say to people, you know, you don't have to do it, but you're crazy if you just don't consider it, you know, if you don't take a moment to look at this opportunity, because it really can be transformative, can't it?
Yeah, and Derek, just one other thing, like people often, you know, I'm looking from a business owner's point of view. The flip side of that is people over there. So I've got some brilliant people that would just happen to be born in the Philippines. You know, so they want to be with their family, but they're highly intelligent. And, you know, in the old days, they couldn't actually work with entrepreneurs around the world. It was very difficult. They'd have to leave their family and et cetera. Whereas now what they can do is work from their home. They can be with their family when they need to, but they can work and support people all over the world. So for them, they absolutely love it. So there's a huge benefit, not just for the business owner, but also the people that are getting new experiences that are actually in the Philippines helping people around the world as well.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, isn't it? And that's why I'm a massive proponent of outsourcing, because it really is a win-win, isn't it? Thank you so much. And we want to get you back, of course, to talk and deep dive into Build, Live, Give. But in the meantime, Paul, if anyone wants to reach out to you, contact you, or learn more about Build, Live, Give, how can they do that?
Yeah, so through my website, buildlivegive.com, and also through my LinkedIn profile, Paul Higgins 555. They're the two easiest ways you can find more about us.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Paul. And of course, all of that will be in the show notes. Good to speak to you.
Thanks, Derek.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, that was Paul Higgins of Build, Live, Give. I learned a lot from that conversation, and I'm looking forward to having him back so we can deep dive into exactly what Build, Live, Give does. So if you want to contact Paul, if you want to know any more about this episode, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/157. And as always, if you want to email us or ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.